So confusion, as we were talking about, and this is what Satan wants to do. Because remember, when the word tells us that he is not the author of confusion, and we understand that, we know that God is not the God of confusion. He doesn't create confusion. What that does is it eliminates some things that some people like to think. You know, we think we read the Bible and it was confusing. But what we've hopefully learned so far from going over last week is that confusion comes from one of two sources, other people and ourselves. So the word itself is not confusing. We make it confusing, or we allow others to make it confusing to us. So we have to first understand what the standard is. When Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, we have to make sure if that is it. So I'll only be confused if it doesn't fit that. That's how I'm supposed to think of it. You understand it? That's why we say, therefore, confusion is when something that happens is not in line with sound doctrine. Keyword sound doctrine, not just a scripture here or there. Confusion is the production of people distorting the Bible. Okay, and we get a lot of that. You get somebody that'll read it and tell you what you can listen to and what you don't listen to. And we just accept it. Instead of going, wait a minute, who told you that I can ignore this verse or this chapter or this book? And you know what I mean? And I must follow this one. And how does that work? We allow them to do it. We just follow these people. Confusion is also from people preaching false gospels. And the Bible even warned that those people are doomed for hell. If anybody, he says, anybody preaches a false gospel, doomed for hell. And when purpose is self, we cause confusion. That's not only for those who cause it with other people, that's with ourselves. A lot of times we're confused because we like what we hear. A lot of times you'll hear a sermon, especially if the sermon hits a nerve of desire, something that you like. Instead of you going, well, that's wrong, you'll go, oh, that's what I wanted to hear. But then other things will confuse you because you're so busy holding on to that. We're going to talk about where that comes from today. Those that cause confusion, God makes clear, will pay. He was like, they're going to pay. Plain and simple. God does, he takes that extremely serious. And this is why we got to be careful not to participate with that. And that it and what is to be expected when we preach the word is we're supposed to present the word clearly, setting forth the truth plainly, not using deception like the world does, not using secret and shameful ways, and never distorting the word of God. And this is our responsibility to make sure we're presenting it just that way. As a pastor, if I'm doing exactly what the word is saying, those who don't get it is usually because they're not trying to get it, if that makes sense, okay? And those who get it are the ones who are truly trying to get it. I got to make sure it's not because of me while they're confused, because I'm adding my own twist to it. I'm giving what I think God should do or distorting the word. But when I present what the word is saying and explain what the word is saying and then allow a person to receive it, and if you just receive it in that purest form, and call that understanding, you will not be confused. So then we showed that those who are confused is when a man distances himself from God by not completely following God. And the key word being completely following God. What does that mean? I may study some scripture here and there and follow that, but where we fail is we ignore those other scriptures over there, or this other scripture that may not make sense or doesn't seem like it works out or matter in my life. I don't put emphasis on it, but I put a whole lot of emphasis on this other one because it seems like it benefits me. You see, we have to understand that we have to glorify God and treat the whole entire word as sacred. If God said it, then that's it. And then we see that the hardening of our heart causes confusion. And we explained, remember, hardening of the heart is when you won't budge for God. Think of it that way. Okay, you'll allow other things to challenge that. That's why, like I said, we know the verse, and we're going to see that verse. We'll go over it again today on, you know, trusting in him and leaning not on your own understanding. We'll talk about that some more. But that hardened heart is that you keep allowing these other things from stopping you just doing what he says. To give you an example of that is if God came down today and said, okay, the grass that you're seeing outside is not green. It's orange. However, everything else that you see is green. It's green. A bunch of us will go, well, God, if I see that as green, then and I see the grass is green, doesn't that mean the grass is green? And we'd argue and we'd have a hard time. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. And we'd struggle with what he just said and we'd be confused. Instead of going, so God, you said that grass is orange. Okay. And you're saying the other things we said are green is green. Okay. You understand that? Our answer would just be okay. It has nothing to do with what I'm seeing. That's why we walk by faith. You understand that? And we make sure we put all on him, So we go to the word to get the answer, because he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And that's where we see it. And that's where we're supposed to get from him. Okay. So, but the hardening of our heart is when we get stuck on what we see, how we feel, what we think. So continuing on that, where we see a man's ignorance is due to man choosing to reject knowledge. Believe it or not, I know we like to play the victim as if we really don't know, while God is saying, but I gave you the answer. You're choosing not to accept it. He shows him Hosea 4, verse 6. He says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Now, people love just reading that verse by itself as if, you know, get them some knowledge. But he's saying it's not because knowledge is not getting to them or they don't have access to it. He continues on. He says, because you have rejected knowledge. See, today, and understand, only when it comes from God is it knowledge. All other stuff is misled. We'll read a bunch of other books. We'll listen to a whole bunch of other videos. We'll follow a whole bunch of other people, but instead of the word. And in doing so, we're following evil and we're not following truth. We're rejecting knowledge. Sometimes we'll read something in God's word and it doesn't make sense, so we just won't do it. We're rejecting knowledge. And he says, in doing so, I also reject you as my priests because you have ignored the law of your God. I also ignore your children. So we actually start a chain reaction in this rejection. And you may say, well, Pastor, how do we reject? We're not pursuing the word for these answers. And or when we get it out the word, we pick and choose what we're going to do. And we don't totally trust in him. So I'm not going to lie. And I think all of us would agree. A lot of stuff the Bible says doesn't make sense. And I'm sure Abraham thought that. And I use that as an example over and over again. And that's the theme of now, in the sense of us understanding. He was told your blessing is going to come through your son. And then he tells him, go kill your son. Makes no sense. And in both cases, you know, especially when he got older with that son, and then it was time to kill his son, he didn't hesitate. He was like, okay, because you're God. We would, but God, how come this happened to me and didn't happen to them? And I don't understand it. And we go through all these changes and add all this nonsense instead of just going, okay, we reject knowledge. He gave us the answer. And that's how we're supposed to not be confused, by just doing it. Confusion isn't the state of where your mind is. It's the state of where you are. You understand that? So if I go with God says, despite what my mind tries to tell me, that's me being in full understanding. You understand that? In which I'm trusting in him and not relying on the spirit to understand God. That's what I'm leading to when I'm saying, when you go over your mind or your emotions or your feelings. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, 13 through 14, this is what we speak. And he makes this clear. This is what all ministers should speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. That's the first thing. Okay. So when you, and what churches did wrong is when they start bringing in brilliant men to be teachers. That wasn't meant to be that way. God even said, he said, I didn't call on these people to be teachers because they're going to bring their brilliance, and the brilliance of the world and the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. You get that? He wants those who receive his wisdom. He makes it clear. He says, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing, watch this, spiritual truth in spiritual words. So they're true truths, which is spiritual truths, and true words, which is spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, which also shows me, but if I'm not leaning upon the Spirit as my understanding, I'm still not going to accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. It's not going to make sense. You understand? Sense is my flesh. Sense is my sinful nature. It says, for they are foolishness to him. Absolutely. This is why I can't go tell the world this. This is why when you have these Christians out here sometimes in politics or in TV or on talk shows and they say things, no, the world ain't going to get it because it is foolishness to them. And we're supposed to know that. They're not going to be able to get it. This is why it tells us not to give pearls to swine, because they can't get it. He says they are foolish to him, and he cannot You can explain it to them. And this is what blows my mind with Christians who go out there, and next thing you know, they're on talk shows and they're talking to the world about spiritual things. What you'll start noticing with them, so they continue to be accepted, is they'll start distorting those spiritual things so the people will understand. While in reality, what they're doing is they're distorting the word of God. And that's major. Do you understand that? The world wasn't meant to get it. We speak and it causes the preaching and it causes the action in our ministry that brings people in so they have access to that spirit in order for them to understand. You see how that concept works? The confusion happens when we don't lean upon the spirit and when you're allowing these people to get out here that are speaking not from the spirit, but the spiritual truth is what we're given. And that's what it's an understanding that only Christians have access to. So this is why the world won't get it. Do you understand that? And that's how come we can boldly say you usually won't have a worldly leader that's a Christian. Because if he's truly a Christian, whoever he's leading, he's going to try to lead as a Christian. And the minute he makes some of these decisions that the spiritual word is saying, they're going to go get him out of office. It makes absolutely no sense. And it won't be one side versus the other. Only the Christians, true Christians, will understand what he's saying. It won't be split on people of your desires, it'll be only based on God's word and our understanding. So we come to this question then, how do we keep from being confused and causing confusion? And this is important for us to know. So we're going to follow these steps. First of all, God has warned confusion will come to those who harden their hearts. We saw that earlier. So let's break this down and get an understanding. In Matthew 13, 14 through 15, he says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understand. Okay, that's you can go to church forever, read your Bible forever, just not getting it. He goes on and says, you will be ever seeing and not perceiving. Same group, getting it, but you just don't get it. You just don't understand. You can't grasp it for some odd reason. And he says, for the people's hearts have become callous. So it's not that you don't get it, you won't budge to get it. It's like I said, God coming down and telling you an answer. A person who gets it will go, got it. I don't care what I learned when I was younger. I don't care what all my friends are saying. God said this. This is the answer. What do? Well, I've always learned, and so and such always said. And I see so many people, and we do all this other junk. That's a callous heart. That is, I'm not budging, God, until you make me, in my understanding, understand you. And he already told us that ain't going to happen. See, me coming out of my understanding to understand him is what's necessary. He said they hardly hear with their ears. So in other words, what they're hearing the words, but they're not hearing. They have closed their eyes. They're seeing it, but they're not allowing themselves to see it. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But the problem is, it's not happening. And that's the problem. And this is what's happening even in the church today. We've taken tradition, we've taken desire, we've taken a whole bunch of things, and we're clinging on to those. Now we're going, okay, God, now speak to me. And we're holding on to these things. And when it hits those things that we're holding on to, and we go, well, that doesn't make sense. Why doesn't it make sense? Because it's not in line with your feelings and the way you see it. Instead of you just clearly saying, you know what? God said this, so I guess what I was thinking all this time is wrong. Let's move over. Let's stop. When I clearly get it from God's word, it eliminates everything. That's how we're supposed to do it. Also, we see to avoid being confused, we must first trust in God and not in self. And this must be done together. And this is the verse I was talking about earlier. When he says in Proverbs 3, 5 through 7, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That means all my purpose and everything is I'm trusting in him. Now, what does it mean to trust in him? A lot of times when people hear trust, we'll just go, yeah, I trust you, Lord. And we think because I'll go, Lord, I trust you. That means I trust him. No. Like love, like all these other things he tells us, it's an action. Okay? So if I truly trust in him, I'm going to the word to get the answer. Did you catch that? I'm going to the word to get the answer. So if the word says go straight, guess where I'm going? There won't be, well, why does he have me going straight? I don't understand. Everybody else is going left. How come everybody else is going this way? No, it is, I'm doing what he says. Why? Because I trust him. The only way that works is when I lean not on my own understanding. The power in that. I mean, I always say there's power in that once you get that, because it'll make you, and now it'll free you to just go to the word to get the answer. But what confuses us is when we add other elements of, well, could it mean this? And I don't understand that. And how come I don't? Because it's now that's my own understanding coming in. And he even stretches it out more in this passage. He says, in the way we do this is in all your ways, acknowledging. Now think about that. The key in here, and the reason why I made it bold and cap, is all. Because a lot of us will pray to God for some things, but he just said, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Do we check with God on everything? On when we get dressed, wear our hair, brush our teeth, you know, which way we're going to work, what job we're taking, so on and so forth. And it doesn't just mean I pray about it, because that's what we tend to get away sometimes in prayer is, don't get me wrong, extremely important. A lot of us don't even know how to pray because we don't go to the word. What I'm saying is the word gives us these specific ways of how to deal with these smaller specific things if we would go to that for that. You understand? So when I acknowledge him, you'll see me do things because the Bible said. I did this because the Bible said. I'm responding because the Bible said. And it says, and he will make your path straight. So what that's telling me is I don't look and say, in order for me to keep straight, I'll do this. No, no, no. I don't do that. What it is I just trust in him. I don't pay attention to which way I'm going. I just allow him to take me straight. Like I said, we're at an age today. We were at a time where we used to have to open up a map. My wife is excellent at that. She can open up a map. She can read a map. We got somewhere until she fell asleep. Then we got lost. But if she read the map, we were getting there. Now we don't need a map because we got this thing on a computer that says turn left, turn right, exit here, blah, blah, blah. And all we do is foolishly, I don't say foolishly because it gets us there, but we follow it, right? Now we just do it. We don't go, it doesn't look like the way. In the past, we probably said that. And even more so, we have somebody that is the way who said, turn left, go right. And that's what his word is doing. That's me acknowledging him and just doing what he says because I trust him. And he says, the way we eliminate us getting in the way is do not be wise in your own eyes. There's a bunch of stuff he's going to do that your flesh is going to come in and it's going to seem foolish. But just like he told you, it said, like we read earlier, to the person without the spirit, got what God says is foolishness to him, how he's going to deal with a situation. We've dealt with disassociation, which we had to go through that with certain people, and we dealt with that. You know how many times people will give grief about that, even though the Bible's clear about that. And I ain't gonna lie to you, in a human sense, it does seem weird to do that. But in a godly sense, it is the answer. I'll see people who, I'm not going to discipline my kid because I think they understand. And I had a long talk with them and they understand and so on and so forth. We say all this stuff, even though the Bible says, do not withhold discipline from your child. It makes that very clear to us. See, I keep trying to be wise in my own eyes instead of just fearing the Lord and shun evil. See, the difference in fearing the Lord and being wise in my own eyes, because God wants us to be wise. But when I fear the Lord, I gain wisdom. When I'm wise in my own eyes, I'll question God. I go, I hear what you're saying, God, but I'm going to keep doing what I was doing because it seemed right. If we follow this, and if you notice how he says in the multiple ways, just go to him for the answer. That's it. As child, I want your answer. Got it. That's it. I want your answer. Not make more out of it, not add to it, not take away from it. And then we have to clear our vision first before you help others. This is a huge one. When this is in Matthew 7, 3 through 5, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? This is a big part in many Christians today, in which they're looking at us and we're supposedly telling them one thing and they're watching us do another. Because I think what we're trying to portray is not what God is trying to portray. It's like we let them know, you know, I'm just like you. I have access to a God that I want you to have access to. That's what the moving the plank is going to do for you. They're going to see a humility in your life, not a self-righteousness. They're going to see you compassion and mercy for them, not this haughty and looking down on them way of life. You understand that? See, the key is he says, if I remove the plank out of my eye, it'll allow me to help them to see. That's what he says. How can you say to your brother, let me take a speck out of your eye when all the time there's a plank in your eye? You understand? Your own eye. He says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will clearly see to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We don't go bashing people because they're doing wrong. The plank let me know I see exactly why they see wrong. How can I help them to see how I'm able to see? It's huge because today we're all walking around with big planks in our eye and we think we're ministering and the people are watching us. Do you know if I go to a restaurant and I'm walking around with an attitude, just the simple way as I look at a person, the way I treat a person, all of those are one way. And then they're thinking, that's supposed to be a Christian? How I dealt with a situation, if it's not fully based on God's word, because of God, right? You know that distorts the ministry. But when I remove the plank, it makes me understand every aspect of everything that I do. You understand that it's going to affect others. And I can't help them if I don't even see how I am. Does that make sense? I told you a person who I worked with one time as a Christian, and nobody really liked him because he was already self-righteous, always talking down to people, and nobody wanted to be around him. And there I go. I had to be the one trying to be nice as a Christian, pull him aside, and I talked to him about it. And he was so busy defending himself, he missed our purpose. Our purpose is to minister. His was just, well, if they would just be this way, they wouldn't be that way. And if they would just do this, and he was also going almost in his own self-righteousness instead of realizing, wait, our job is to minister. In no way was I telling them to do what they said. I was saying, do you understand you're hindering the ministry by being in your own self-righteousness? Wouldn't get it. You wouldn't get it. Many are in that same way. Remove that plank. You're causing confusion because they're looking at one thing and they're hearing another thing and they're distorted by what you're saying, but you're not living. We got to remove that plank. And we got to go to a Bible teaching church. Right now, the entire world has tons of churches out there. And sometimes we just tell people, just go to church. And it makes us feel better because they go to church. What there's not tons of is Bible teaching churches. Reason being, people don't want to be taught. And we have to learn that the hard way. Be honest with you, people do not want to be taught. People want to feel. People want to experience. But the Bible made sure that this is the foundation of what every church should have. All the other stuff is fluff and it's nice to have, but if it doesn't have this, you're in trouble. And what is it? Ephesians 4, 11 through 14 says, it was he who gave some to be apostles, as we talked about earlier, and prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So he laid the foundation of the ministry, the leadership and all that. So that's there. Here's the purpose. You go to church to prepare God's people for works of service. Let me stop there for a minute. If you notice, it didn't say so you can feel this power and spirit and feel good and all this. No, it's to prepare, and not you, but God's people. You are a part of God's people. That's why it says so that the body of Christ may be built up. So I understand I'm supposed to be part of a group who's supposed to go out and they're teaching us how to be that group so we can represent the body. And he says it's supposed to come to a point of maturity. Why do y'all have these other groups after church and all this stuff? It's to work together as a body, to grow as a body, because you only play a part. And we have to be in sync. That's why it says until we all reach unity in faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. You watch a kid from a baby. I mean, it's funny. I was watching, it was a, you know, in the curler, if you, a woman has a curler and they have the little sponge part and they have the plastic part. And, I can't remember which baby was doing this, but I'm sure all babies do it. And I remember the baby was just so focused on trying to get that sponge and put the thing into it. And you could just watch, look on the baby's face, and it was taking forever and driving me crazy. I would take it and say, here, you know what I mean? But it was what you were watching is the process of growth, a process of understanding. And in that same way, that's what the body of Christ should be doing. Getting a figure out of getting that eye to hand coordination. One is going to be the eye. The other is going to be the hand. The other is going to be the balance. But we're not doing that. And that's what the church is supposed to be teaching. And the church isn't supposed to be teaching it by me making up some sort of program or workshop to make that work. I have to just give you the word plainly. And as I give you the word, you understand your role. You understand that you're supposed to be part of the body. And that's why it says, until we all reach unity and faith in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So this is the goal. Okay. That's the goal. So in other words, let's say I even feel like I'm growing. If I know my brother's not growing, then I got to do what I can to help my brother to grow. I can't go, I got mine, you got to get yours. It doesn't work that way because it's part of the body. If the hand's not working, I don't care what your eyes can do. The hand's not going to hold that part to put the other part in. You get where I'm going with this? So he's saying we got to reach it and work with the body to get the body to grow. And then he uses a word here, then. And this is what it does, the confusion. He said, then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheme. You will not be confused anymore. You know what I mean? Jehovah's Witness come and tell you something, it won't be confusing. Mormons come and tell you something, it won't be confusing. You watch anything, you can be able to watch anything. You'll be able to distinguish and get through that because you won't be tossed back and forth anymore. Reason why we're confused today is because this is not happening. Either we're not in a Bible teaching church or we're not listening in a Bible teaching church and we're not functioning as a Bible teaching church. Okay? And only being taught from the Bible, only being taught from the Bible. I'm explaining this. Ephesians 4, 20 through 24 says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. And if you read before in verse 20, in 19 through 20, I think, it said, you know, how they know Christ in this wrong way, basically. So they really didn't get to know Christ. He said, you, and he's talking about us as Christians, we didn't get to know Christ that way. Watch this. He said, surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. Plain and simple, we learned about Jesus through the word. Now, I say that because there's a lot of books people read, a lot of music people listen to, television shows people watch that claim to do this, and they're not using the truth. So then people learn a different Jesus. Did you catch that? That's why they're confused. See, he said the word taught you something totally different. It says you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. If you look at today, people are teaching churches of people coming in as you are and staying as you are. Know who you are. Believe in yourself. If you were born that way, then be that way. We will accept you. That's not what this is. It says, to regard your former life, to put off your old self. Did you catch that? Which is being corrupted. It's saying your old self is being corrupted. And if you stay in that, it's going to continue to be corrupted. And to be made new in the attitudes of your mind. This is what the Bible teaches. And to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. If I'm allowing these other resources, the only time books and television shows and music and everything are worth it, is when they're soundly and only using the word of God. If they add anything else to it, you're going to be confused. It's going to distort. It's going to cause a problem. We all should have the same mindset as this is in Psalm 119, 169. May my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding. Watch this. According to your word. A lot of us end up just saying just this part. Give me understanding. Every time you go, oh, doesn't mean you get it. It just means you might get it based on your own understanding. See, I want to get it according to him. Remember, he's that standard. He is the way. I want to make sure my understanding is his understanding. You get it? Not my understanding. See, my understanding is stemming to me, which is corrupted and worthless. His understanding is the truth. It's the answer. So in order to do that, I have to stop leaning on my human intellect. 1 Corinthians 3, 18 through 19 says, do not deceive yourselves. Remember, deception is a choice. And even in this case, it's saying you better stop doing it. A lot of when we hear deception now, once again, we play the victim as if I was deceived and I didn't see it coming. And God lets us know, oh, no, it's your choice. You can avoid it if you just avoid it. And a lot of us are just doing it to ourselves. He says, if any of you thinks he is wise, watch this, by the standard of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. For many years, even when I got accepted to college and I came out of school and I was doing well in school and all that, they were the hardest part of my Christian walk and understanding God because of the human intelligence. I kept trying to apply that. I kept trying to be a scholar with it. I was getting around what we call scholar men and all this stuff. And we would talk and we'd philosophize about God and all this other stuff. It had nothing to do with God. And until, like I said, it was like early 20s until I said, you know what? I'm just going to take what he said. And it says he should become a fool. What that means is I'm just going to take what he said. Somebody would have watched Abraham and said, yeah, he told us that that kid was where his promise was coming from. Look at him. Now he's going to go kill his kid. That don't make any sense. And in the same sense, the Christian should just be doing what God says, not trying to make it make sense. Does that make sense? Hopefully that makes sense in the right sense. And then we have to avoid information that's not of God. So not only are we only supposed to get stuff from the Bible, be careful, because you still, even though let's say you're sincere, godly sincere in getting stuff out the Bible itself, you still allow a lot of other garbage to enter into your life, stuff that has nothing to do with God. That's why he says in 1 Timothy 4:7-8, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. He says, rather, train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I hate to say it, a lot of stuff, especially like in our country right now, we've made a bunch of stuff down here sacred that the Bible didn't make sacred. I was saying, you know, I was talking to my sister earlier, and I was saying that one reason why I'm adamant, and I'll tell people, by all means, if you want to get dressed up and go to church, get dressed up and go to church. Where people messed up is when we made getting dressed up and go to church sacred. We have no right making something sacred that God didn't make sacred. So when he says have nothing to do with godless myths, stop making it sacred. You just want to dress nice, plain and simple. Don't do this while I'm doing it, and then you make up because I want to look nice for God, and this and that. It's the only place you're seeing God is in church. You're starting to, you know, dig a hole where God didn't say that. So there's a bunch of stuff we're doing out there that the Bible doesn't say. You understand how we are with our country, how we are with our food, how we are with our kids. We'll do stuff that give an impression to a person that doesn't know any better. And we end up building these myths and these trails instead of us training ourselves to be godly. Godly means you really see me putting emphasis and understanding on what the word says, not on these things that I've seen people do. We got more traditions out here that we may put our time into. Christmas is coming up, and we have more people that take that as a sacred time. One of the most foolish things, and it is, where people are saying, say Merry Christmas, not Happy Holidays. No, that's such the biggest nonsense. Where is that in the Bible? It has nothing to do with anything, but we get caught up in that as if it's a big deal or not. So while they're getting caught up in that, we're following the Bible. Do you get this? Even if it was a real thing, the world wouldn't know it. We just read that earlier. They don't understand. They see it as a holiday to get stuff. That's it. And unfortunately, so much Christians do. They don't understand. They don't understand it. It doesn't fit. But we as Christians recognize, okay, it's some time we put in there. We say we're going to celebrate during this time. It's not sacred because God didn't put it out there. So I'm not going to treat it as sacred. We know better. At least I hope we do, because it's not in the word. You need to ask it about everything that you're doing that you call sacred. Make sure it's shown in the word. If it's not in the word, it's not sacred. It's just some choice that you chose to do. So in knowing that, you must live wisely, remember godly wisely, and carefully to stay in line with God. Wisely and carefully is where you're watching every step in him and basically what he said. Okay, it says in Ephesians 5, 15 through 18, it says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Stop there for a minute. It's showing me that I'm responsible how I live, and I got to be very careful to watch how I'm doing. So these things I'm about to say and the things I'm about to do in my life, do I stop and do I go, wait a minute, is this right based on God, right? Am I living right based on God? He says, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Some people read that, they think they're looking for opportunities to make the most out of. Read what it says again. It didn't say find opportunities to make the most out of. It says make the most out of every opportunity. So some days I may be around a bunch of people, make the most out of that opportunity. Some days I may be alone, make the most out of that opportunity. They're all opportunities. I'm supposed to make the most out of it. And the only way I know that is by growing in godly wisdom. You understand that? As why? Why? He said, because the days are evil. Each day we go through is getting worse and worse, and we're supposed to grow to make the most, because every chance we get to minister, every chance we get to grow in him, do it. He says, therefore, do not be foolish. It's again, it's a choice, but understand what the Lord's will is. We know in Romans 12, 2, it tells you, no longer conforming to the patterns of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? And then you will be able to prove what God's will is. A lot of times we don't know God's will. people will go, well, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do this? Why are you confused? Because you didn't conform. You're still doing stuff the way the world does it, and you haven't completely renewed your mind. So no, you're not going to know what God's will is. But I'm supposed to understand what God's will is. And he tells me this. He says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And this is not like the charismatics when you start shouting and jumping around. That's not what that means. Being filled with the Spirit is when you are allowing the Spirit to totally take over everything. So it's not your emotions that's going to lead you. It's not your intellect that's not going to lead you. It's not some sentimental moment that's going to lead you. It's not your ignorance or your fear. It's going to be all of God. When he says be filled, he shows you right there, it's you choosing to allow the Spirit for you to be spiritual, not emotional. Please don't mix up the two. We're going to talk about that in the sermon coming up, but where we people mistake that overwhelmingly emotional feeling you get with spiritual, and there's a big difference in the two. So simply put, make God the only purpose and the path of your life. As we see in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. What he's saying here is people are looking for variety to go to the same place when he already says he is the way. He's telling you there is only one way. There's only one life. He already told you that, but we still keep trying to get variety. I want more. And he says, but that leads to destruction. And more we keep adding that more to the church, and we keep including people in that more, thinking it's all good. And he says, many enter through it. But small is the gate, narrow is the road that leads to life. Only few find it. Not because it's hard to find, but because of everything else we told. If you stay in that narrow and just take what he says, and just say, okay, you won't be confused. Now, don't get me wrong. You may feel confused, but you won't be confused. That's the difference maker. And we don't go off of how we feel. We follow what he said. Now, this leads to the answer to the question that was asked in the beginning. Remember the question in the beginning where I says a game was played and the final score was 84-74. Who won the game? Now, most people who just know basic sports would, of course, choose the person with the highest score. People who know a bunch of other sports, we know about one sport, which is golf. It says the answer to who won comes with a question. It depends on what sport you're playing. If playing basketball, the score of 84 wins. If playing golf, the score of 74 wins. I'm using this analogy, so stay with me. Watch what it says. Our confusion is because we are seeing scoring of golf through basketball eyes. In the same way, we try to see how God works through how we see it instead of what he says. Our confusion is because we keep trying to make his spirituality and truth and purity fit our corruption and darkness and crookedness, if you will. Confusion is when we go away from the way and not stay on the path. Any questions? All right, praise God. Hopefully you've been blessed by that. Hopefully you get that, because like I said, a lot of people go with their emotions of confusion instead of realizing you're only confused when you, it's what you do, if you allow yourself to go in that path. So as you go through that and you recognize, I'm just going in the word to find out what God says to do what he says, period. Not try to figure it out my own way. And then you'll be on the right path and you'll grow and you'll mature despite how your flesh may feel about it. All right. So we have no other questions. We will pray out. Let's pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you so much, dear Lord, for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for being the way and showing us the true way, the only way that we need. Help us to follow that way at all times, not to be misled by our emotions, what we see, by what the world tells us, by our traditions, but help us to continue to look through your word that you have provided us with, dear Lord. Help us not to take that for granted. Help us to make the most of every opportunity and not try to look for those opportunities, but the opportunities that you give us, the opportunities that you put us in, help us to most make it out of that, dear Lord, to grow in that. Continual blessings on those who are struggling. We have many who are sick, who are losing loved ones, who have lost loved ones. There are people that just go through hard times in life. But just let us stay focused on the true purpose of the eternity with you, not to get hung up on our temporary here. So let us minister to others and comfort one another and to encourage one another, dear Lord, with you, and not to get stuck on the things here that are hindering us from getting to you. We give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. And all these blessings we ask, your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Love you all.
Amen. Love you too.
Good night.